Thank the Lord for each one that made it out this morning. Desire and interest in your prayers. We're still on the subject of holiness this morning. Last Sunday we started a little series on this subject by the help of the Lord, and maybe before we just get too far into it, I'd like to give just a quick summary maybe of what we covered last Sunday. Holiness is, it's a subject that is often avoided by the nominal Christian world, and it is also a subject that can bring a sense of unease, even to well-meaning Christians, I think for different reasons. One is that God's holiness indeed shines a bright light on our great need. And often it is a need that in our own minds is inconvenient to address. Sometimes it is a need that is difficult for us to come face to face with and address. But I think also the term holiness is often not well understood. And I also think that many times we as people feel like that the life of holiness is unattainable. And I think that the enemy oftentimes tries to cause us to feel like we are second-rate, second-class citizens because there is no way that you yourself can claim to be holy. And I think that the enemy uses that against us. And I don't think that that is something that the Lord wants to happen. I know that it's not. The reality is that God has called us to a life of holiness. He called us to that life because it's the best thing that could ever happen to us in life. That we would be called to a walk with the Lord where He can help us, where He can come live within us, help us through life, and in the end, unite us with Him. That's His purpose. He is a Father that always desires that we be nourished, that we be fed, that we be perfected, that we as people would be able to be made whole through Him, through His power and His righteousness. And so He calls us to a life of holiness with the instruction that we read last Sunday, "Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And another writer reminded us that without holiness, no man can see the Lord. Last Sunday we reviewed the meaning of holiness. Endeavor to define what holiness means. And maybe we'll go ahead and write some of that on the board again. I think it's good to internalize this. The word holiness means consecrated. Holiness means dedicated. It means set apart. Set apart to what? What we want to define ourselves? No. Set apart to God. Holiness means that we live a life and we make decisions that are acceptable to God. Acceptable to God. And all of these things represent something sacred that is taking place between us and God. Consecrated to God. Dedicated to the Lord's will. Set apart to God. Acceptable to God. Does this mean that we will be perfect in the sense that there's no more room for any improvement in your life? Is that what holiness means? You know, a lot of times that's why we draw back. Because we can think of holiness in terms of we have spiritually arrived. No more room for improvement spiritually in my life. If that's what it means, I'm in trouble. Because I haven't found that place yet where there's no more room in my life to draw closer to the Lord. But what it does mean is that this comes before all else. We have fully dedicated and consecrated, set ourselves apart to God. We want to live lives holy and acceptable before God. And so, will we be perfect in the sense no improvement is needed? No. However, it does mean, holiness does mean, that when we recognize that there is wrong in our lives, when the Lord puts His finger on a place in our lives and we recognize it is a place of unrighteousness, it's a place that is unlike what God wants for us, we promptly move towards, by the help of God, getting that right. That's how we stay clean. If we transgress, if we come short of the glory of God, if we stumble and we fall as Christians, which we will, there will be times we're going to make mistakes, we're going to stumble, we're going to fall, we're going to come short of what God wants us to. A holy person, when that happens, the Holy Spirit living within us convicts us of our hearts, and it means something to us because we have consecrated ourselves to living for the Lord. We've dedicated ourselves. Lord, we want to set ourselves apart to living for You. We want to make decisions acceptable to You. And Lord, I just erred. I just did something that You're not pleased with, and I don't want that part of my life. I don't want that stain to remain on my garments, figurative garments, if you will. And so, holy people, when they come across places in life that brings unrighteousness is recognized, and where spots of uncleanness and wrong, we recognize we just fell into it. This pit out of our own perhaps neglect, weakness, place where we're not where the Lord wants us to be, we quickly make decisions that are acceptable to God and His will. And if we do that, and we pursue that, then we will grow in grace. Because when we discover places of unrighteousness in us, when we fall, and we make a mistake, and we are grieved in our hearts, and we bring forth fruit meet for repentance. In other words, we are sorry enough about what just took place that we're going to take steps that show we're really sorry. We're not just going to walk down the same road again. We might take some steps to put some barriers in between what it was that caused me to fall, because I'm dedicated to living for God. And He's pleased with that. We ended last Sunday with the verse in 1 Peter 1 and 15 that says, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." And so then if you insert the meaning of holiness into this verse, it would read something like this: "But as He which hath called you is complete, whole, set apart from the incomplete, perfect," speaking of God, "so be ye set apart, consecrated, dedicated, perfectly equipped in all manner of conversation or living. May God help us to be able to get a hold of these truths, that they would help us in our Christian life. I'd like to read now out of the 12th chapter of Romans, in the first verse. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies now a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Gone now are the days where we present to God a holy, unblemished animal sacrifice to make atonement for our unholiness, and then continue to live in an unholy manner. Those days are now intended to be gone. For Jesus, the Son of God, the unspotted, unblemished Lamb of God, has now made the perfect sacrifice for our atonement, that our sins can now be forgiven. We no longer need to offer an unblemished, literal lamb that is looking forward to the time that Jesus would come, because that's what the lamb was representative of. Now, the Lamb of God has come, has made that sacrifice. Our sins have now been forgiven. No need anymore for any more blood offerings or sacrifices to atone for our sins. Jesus Christ made that once and for all. And so now the exhortation is that we would come and present ourselves now a living sacrifice, an alive sacrifice that is dedicated, that is consecrated, that is willing to be set apart unto God, that we would now be alive and not dead, but alive in God, living to Him in a way that's well-pleasing to Him. A living sacrifice. Our sacrifice is that we, in fact, are setting ourselves apart from our own way. Setting ourselves apart from the way of the world that we are so apt to conform to. And it's a sacrifice. We're giving up what we might naturally be drawn to and saying, no, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. And that is what he is calling us to. He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Living for the Lord in a holy life means that we will not conform to the world around us. As human beings, we are so apt to do. As human beings, we are so apt to be drawn in and to allow the way we think, the way that we talk, the way that the decisions that we make, the things that we purchase, the things that we think about. It is so human nature for us to conform to what all is going around us. This scripture calls us to be a sacrifice, a holy sacrifice unto God, where we have turned away from that would influence us into the way of the world, and that yet we would apply ourselves to God's way. Not the prevailing spirit of the world, but according to the Spirit of God. Does that mean that we are no longer in the world? Does it mean we don't drive cars anymore? Does it mean we don't eat the same food? Does it mean that we don't have meaningful relationships with other people? Does it mean that we don't have jobs? Does it mean that we just gather ourselves away and build a white brick wall and go through the door and never again assimilate ourselves out about and not enjoy any of the things that this life has to offer? No, certainly not. The Lord gives us instructions in the Scripture to be responsible, to work, to marry, to be given in marriage, to have relationships, to love each other, to enjoy the things that God has created for us. Those things, it's holiness does not mean that all that is good in this life that God Himself instituted, that now we separate ourselves from all of that. That the holier we are, the more we separate ourselves from all that actually God put within us to be drawn to. You know, there's some things that God put within us to be drawn to that are good, wholesome things that are actually representative of what He wants us to learn about our relationship with Him. Our relationship with our spouse, our children, the church of God, coming together and worshiping and enjoying one another's presence, going out into the world and being a light to the world. This is all part of God's plan, and holiness does not mean that when it says, be not conformed to this world, that if the world says we're going to wear blue today, we're going to say, well, that's what I've been wearing, I guess I need to switch to red. That's not what it means when it talks about not being conformed to the world. It is speaking of not conforming ourselves to the prevailing spirit of the world that goes after the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life to the point where it separates us from being able to be consecrated, dedicated, set apart unto God and making decisions that are acceptable to the Lord and His will. It's a close walk. And it's a walk that is very difficult to impossible for somebody to be able to prescribe to you exactly what that means for you in your life. Walking in holiness before God is necessarily going to involve God Himself speaking to our hearts, helping us to understand what it means for me to be consecrated and dedicated and set apart, making acceptable decisions. He gave us the Word of God that gives us many wonderful direction and encouragement in how to live. And His Spirit will never, holiness will never contradict the Word of God. But His Spirit will come and help us understand how the Word of God is applied to our lives so that He can be pleased with the conduct of our lives. I'd like to also mention in the first chapter of James and in the 27th verse, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God, the Father, is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to remain unspotted from the world. Do you know a lot of times when we think about religion, when people speak of, well, what religion are you? A lot of times what they're eventually getting to is, what are the practices that you observe that you believe are necessary to reinforce your faith? Now, definition of religion goes beyond that, but a lot of times that's what we think about. And this verse, I believe, speaks to it summarizes in just one short, simple verse what pure religion is. And that is the practices that we take on in this life centers around service to other people and remaining unspotted by the world, so that God the Father will be accepting of us. If that's where our heart is, if we have consecrated and dedicated, set ourselves apart unto God so that we can make decisions acceptable to God, the fruit of that the fruit of a holy life, we will begin to see service to other people. Where it's not all about me. Where it's about the needs of other people. And that we remain unspotted from the world. Not just so that we're different for the sake of being different. But it's speaking of remaining unspotted from the spirit of the world that draws people into places that are in direct contradiction to what God has already asked us of in our lives. We make Him our priority. And by choosing Jesus Christ above all else, we open the door to receiving sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, that we would be able to have the help and the strength that we need to walk this way in life. And I'd like to insert here this morning, this subject will go beyond this morning, but when we speak of sanctification, sometimes the word sanctification can be a little nebulous and uncertain. People say, well, I'm saved and I'm sanctified. Well, what does sanctified mean? Sanctified speaks of being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what sanctification is. I have been saved. I have repented of my sins with true repentance. The blood of Jesus has covered my sins. And I have willingly consecrated, dedicated myself to the service of the Lord. And I have invited the Lord's Holy Spirit into my life that He might direct me in all things, that I would know how to live in a way that He's pleased with. It's not possible to live a holy life without the presence of the Holy Spirit. They go together. Holy living is believing fully into the plan of salvation that Jesus Christ brought. Jesus Christ brought a plan of salvation where He would come to the earth. He saw us in great need, in our sin. He saw us without a Savior. He saw us without a way to earn our way back to an acceptable place before the Father. And so He set up a salvation plan where Jesus Christ would come and make atonement for our sins on the cross that we cannot pay for. Folks, you can't earn your way into heaven. Don't ever think that that's what holiness is, that I'm accumulating a list of all of my good works, and because of this, it looks like I'm about to earn my way into heaven. You can never earn your way into heaven. No way, no how. Only by the blood of Jesus. Only by His righteousness. He came and offered us a plan where we could have our sins forgiven because of His righteousness. And then His plan was that He would then go away so that He could then come and send back His Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in all truth so that we could live holy lives, so that we would have the strength and the power and the help to be consecrated and dedicated. Otherwise, we'll be just trying to live a holy life based on will without any extra help from God. And we're not going to be able to do that. Because there is a power, there is a spirit power that is in the world. Paul mentioned it. Those things that I would do, I find that I can't do. The things that I can't do, that in of myself, I find that I am doing. If we don't have some help beyond ourselves, as much as we would like to live good lives, we will be caught up in temptation and not be able to resist if we don't have help from the Lord. And so, Jesus said, told His disciples, I must go away so that I can send my Spirit back and He will guide you into all truth. And His intent for us then is that He would come and live in our hearts, in our souls, which would be the second work of grace. The first being that we were saved. We asked for forgiveness. The Lord saved us of our sins. That's the first work of grace that's necessary. To get the sins forgiven, the second work of grace, which is often termed as sanctification, is simply being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Ghost. The disciples waited on the Holy Spirit to come, and on the day of Pentecost, Jesus Christ sent His Spirit, came and descended upon them. It wasn't just something in their minds, but it was something that took place where they were in a spot where they opened their hearts. They were fully consecrated, dedicated. Lord, whatever you want for me in life, that's how I want to live. And when we get to that place and open ourselves up and are willing to turn away from our way, and the Lord sees that, and we've repented of our sins, and He's forgiven us, then we come and invite Him into our lives. Lord, our door is open of our hearts. Lord, please come in with Your Holy Spirit and live within my heart and life. The Spirit of God used to be in the holiest of holies, but when Jesus died on the cross and He said, "It is finished," the veil in the temple was rent. Remember the centurion was standing there? And that veil in the temple was rent. And the Spirit of God went out of the literal temple into the world because it was approaching the time that now the Holy Spirit wouldn't dwell in a temple made with hands, but that the Holy Spirit would come back to whosoever will, that would open up their hearts, be consecrated. Lord, I want to serve You more than anything else in life. And when we do that and we ask Him and invite Him to come in, thank God this morning that His Holy Spirit is willing to come into our hearts, into our lives, to help us in those places where we cannot help ourselves. In the 15th chapter of John, and I think it's around the 26th verse, it said, Jesus said, "But the Comforter," what a beautiful name to describe the Holy Spirit. Not the accuser, not the condemner, not the one that's coming to make your life difficult, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I have said unto you. Jesus Christ meant to send us a helper, a Holy Spirit, a Comforter to lead us in light that the world hasn't received because they haven't consecrated and dedicated themselves to the Lord. But people that want to be called unto holiness and say, "Lord, I want to be Yours. I want You to be my God. Lord, I want to be Your people." And we mean that from our hearts. The Lord is willing to send us the Comforter, our Helper, the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in ways that we otherwise would never be able to do on our own. And so holy living is consecrating ourselves to live in a manner pleasing to God. In summary this morning, I'd like to read a couple of other quick scriptures. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 says, what? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" This was a question that was posed. What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own anymore?" See, we've given ourselves to God. We willingly have said, "Lord, not my will, but Thine be done." No longer then are we our own, but we're God's. The Holy Spirit has come within us. And the next verse said, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It didn't say glorify body with just lip service. Glorify God by saying that you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. But glorify God in your body. All of the things that you do in life, let it be to the glory of God. In your spirit, what comes out of your mouth, What kind of the spirit that is manifested by the conduct of our living, let it be such that it glorifies God. And then in Romans, the 6th chapter and the 13th verse, 6 and 13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Your members, what is that? Don't yield your hands, your eyes, your feet, your body, the things that are temporal. Don't yield these things as instruments, as a means of involving yourself with those things that are unrighteous, but yield your members as instruments of righteousness. Folks, we're not going to be perfect overnight. The Lord calls us to a walk where we grow in grace. We're not ready to see ourselves exactly like He sees us. I remember Brother Clifford Wilson, Brother Ed's dad. I remember him telling the story. He hadn't been saved very long. And he said, Lord, he said, just show me myself just exactly like You see me. And he said, but the Lord wasn't answering his prayer. And so he kept praying, Lord, would You please help me to see myself just like You see me. And he said one morning, and he described this beautiful morning with the sun shining through the trees, he was praying this prayer, and he said, the Lord said, if I showed you who you were just exactly like I see you, you wouldn't be able to handle it. You see, the Lord is a merciful God. The Holy Spirit is a merciful Spirit. The Lord leads us. The Spirit of truth leads us and guides us into all truth. We're not always ready for who we are. Sometimes other people see us before we see ourselves. And in fact, often that's the case. We need to be careful on how critical we are of other people. They may not see themselves as they are. They may not be ready for it. They may not be able to handle it. May God help us to be merciful to other people in their lives as we would like God to be merciful to us, as we're endeavoring to live a holy life. Let's not be critical of other people. Not condone sin. We don't want to do that. We want to stand up for truth. We want to be teachers, but we want to do it with love. And we want to do it in a way that allows God's Spirit to do what His Spirit does. May God help us with this morning. We're not going to be perfect overnight, but Isaiah said, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. We're not going to get there with one prayer, but God is faithful to lead us and guide us in the way of truth if we will be willing to live holy lives. I know I need help in this life. I know that I'm going to face tribulation. I'm going to face trouble that is bigger than I am, because I've already had a lot of experience at that. Facing trouble that is bigger than I am. And a lot of times it comes in the form of me. But Jesus said in the 16th chapter of John, I think in the 33rd verse, in this world ye shall have tribulation. But He said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Well, why be of good cheer? Be of good cheer because the same Spirit that has already overcome the world is the same Spirit that is willing to live in the hearts and minds of people that are willing to be consecrated, dedicated, set apart unto God, which means that by extension, we too can overcome the world through Jesus Christ. May God help these thoughts be an encouragement to each one of you. Amen.